Good morning. I'm so glad to see all of you here this morning. We've been looking at the sayings of Jesus, the teachings. We're getting close to Easter, so we'll be talking about the crucifixion and the resurrection. That's my favorite thing to preach on, is the resurrection. Today, we're going to be talking out of John chapter 14, verses 1 through 13. This is a beautiful promise that Jesus makes to his disciples then and now. When you know Christ, when you belong to him, death is something you don't have to fear. We do fear the unknown, but we don't have to fear an uncertainty if we're in Christ. For Paul said to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. There's a great comfort in that. And our text this morning is just hours before he goes to the cross. Jesus, from chapter 13 to 17, is all one discourse. He's had what we call the Last Supper. Judas has agreed to betray him. He went to the feast and said he cried out, "If anyone believes in me, you're not believing in me, you're believing in him who sent me." And he said, "The Father has sent me." And in essence, he said, I've done his will. I've given you his word. So you need to believe in me like you believe in the Father. And that sealed his fate. That's when the Pharisees said, "We got to take this guy out." They were disgusted and they were scared. Fear is a big motivator. And they were afraid of Jesus. They were afraid of the pull that he had with people, the power. They were afraid they were going to be overthrown and that Rome was going to come in and take over. And fear motivates people to do a lot of things. And this morning, I've entitled this after the hymn, Blessed Assurance, because it's a promise he makes to his church. And what blows me away is he's the one getting ready to die, and he wants to comfort his church. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 13. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Father, we thank you for your word that you have left here, that we may be comforted and encouraged from it. We thank you for the great and precious promises by which we may be partakers of the divine nature. We thank you, Father, for the promises that we have, that we may know that we are free from your wrath, we have passed from death unto life, and that we can look forward to your coming, Lord, without fear, and not shrink away from you when you do come. I pray if there's any here today, Lord, that don't know this truth, that are not in Christ, that this would be a day of salvation. Father, I know your word does not return to you empty. It does what you send it out to do. And I just ask that you anoint me this morning to preach your word in truth, for your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. What Jesus has said here is a beautiful picture. And in the Jewish culture, these men understood what he was saying. When a young man took a wife, they would go before the rabbi, the parents and the young man and young woman, and the banns would be read, the promise, the covenant of marriage, and they would be husband and wife. You remember when Mary went to Bethlehem, it said she was betrothed to Joseph. She was considered Joseph's wife. And the fact that she was pregnant just a little while after Joseph took her into the house was a scandal in itself. But the groom, when the banns was finished, they had a celebration, they drank wine, they partied, they danced, and had a lot of joy, but he didn't take his wife home, she stayed at her parents', because he had to go home and build a room for her in his father's house. And dad would watch him build this room, and when dad was satisfied that the room was finished and ready, he'd say, go get your bride. And he grabbed the best man, and the best man carried a shofar, a ram's horn. I've seen a lot of fox dog horns when I was a boy. These old timers had to call the dogs when they was fox hunting, and this was kind of like that. And the best man and the groom would show up at the edge of the city, and that best man would blow that shofar. When that young lady heard that, she knew that meant one thing: my husband's here, and it's time for me to go. And she would take her belongings and kiss mom and dad goodbye, and she went home with him, and she was his wife. This is the picture that Jesus is painting for his church. As I said, He instituted what we call the Lord's Supper that we just did here. He said, when you do this, do it in remembrance of me. They were doing Passover where they remembered when God brought them out of Egypt, and Jesus changed it. He said, now when you eat this bread, you remember that I gave my body. When you drink the wine, they had like 3 cups of wine that they drank at Passover meal, and each cup represented something special. And Ray Vonderlaan says at the supper, when Jesus took a drink of wine and offered it to his men, it was like he was saying, will you marry me? Now, that's not a gay wedding, okay? He's talking to his church. Do you know, sorry, according to Paul and some of the other scriptures, that you and I are considered the bride of Christ. And we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to be his bride. We're already his bride. Yeah. He's told his men at supper, one of you is going to betray me. He told the Jews, if you've seen me, you've seen God. And they said, we got to kill this guy. So he knows he's going to die. He's told his men he's going to die. In other words, I'm going away. You're not going to see me. for a while. And I can imagine what's going through these men's minds. We left our jobs. We left our families. We have spent 3.5 years walking around Judea with you. Jesus handled all the problems. He answered all the questions. He cured diseases. He cast out demons. He even raised the dead. And these men were convinced this is the Messiah. And all of a sudden, their Messiah says, I'm going to die. If you remember, Peter took him to the side and said, that ain't happening. And Jesus rebuked him and said, get behind me, Satan. He said, you don't understand the things of God. You're looking at this from a man's viewpoint. Jesus was saying, Peter, I have to die, or you won't be reconciled, none of you. And they're very sad. I can imagine that. What are we going to do now? What do we do now? You're going away? But Jesus says, now wait a minute. I'm going away to get a room ready for you. Oh, well, I understand that. He said, if you believe in God, believe in me. And he said, I'm going away to get a room ready for you, church. And when the Father says it's done, then I'm going to come back and my best man, probably Michael or a Gabriel, is going to blow that shofar. It'll be a trumpet heard all over the world. And that's going to be a sign to the church, here comes the husband. Praise God. It says in Revelation, when the wicked hear that horn, they'll hide in the caves and try to crawl under rocks, and they'll say, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne. That ain't what his people are going to do. We're going to go, hallelujah, you're here. See, Jesus has given his church something to look forward to. He said, I love you. And I love you, and I'm going to die for you. Now, he told them he'd be raised again, but they couldn't even get a hold of the fact that he was going to die. You know, much less talk about a resurrection. They're focused on the fact you're going to die. And being as we are as people, what was their response? What about us? What's going to happen to us? Peter one time said, we left everything to follow you. What do we get out of this? That's just the way we are, isn't it? We're taught all of our lives to look out for number one. You know, I'm number one. The Lord said, no, you love me first, love your neighbor second, and then you can love yourself. Well, I don't like that arrangement. We struggle with that, don't we? Well, some of you are honest. Yeah, we do. I've been a Christian 34 years, and I'll still catch myself saying, God, what about me? You know what he tells me every time? This ain't about you, sweet pea. Yeah, he calls me sweet pea sometimes. In my mind, you know, he says, sweet pea, this isn't about you. Oh, yeah. I think it should be, but yeah. And Jesus, men, that's what they're saying. What about us? Now what do we do? And Jesus said, now look, wait a minute. I'm not going to leave you forever. I'm going to go home and get a room ready for you. Oh. But you know what he's asking? Do you believe that? He said, you believe in God, believe in me. Do you believe what I'm saying? And Jesus said, I have to go away, and you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas goes, man, we don't even know where you're going. We don't understand why you have to leave. The time is ripe, Lord. Let's go to Jerusalem. You'll ascend the throne. They'll proclaim you king. And we'll drive the Romans out. And we're going to have our own kingdom of heaven right here on the earth. And you'll be the king and we're your cabinet. It says at supper, some of them were arguing who was the greatest. Who would be the top dog? And their Lord had said, I'm going to die. And they're over there going, yeah, yeah, Lord. We're trying to figure out here a pecking order. That happens in the church a lot, you know. Well, I think that I ought to have a lot of input. Well, if you got anything sensible, yeah, I'll listen to you. But otherwise, you know, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, not the elders. I've seen a mentality in the church here where the elders are here to make you happy. I'll tell you what God tells me. That ain't it, sweet pea. Okay? We're here to make sure that the doctrine preached and taught in this church is the Word of God. We're here to support you, to help you, but we're also here to rebuke you if you're in sin, and we know it, to do it in love, to come and talk to you and say, hey. And here Jesus' church going, what about us? Jesus said, look, I'm going away to get your room ready. Do you believe that? And Philip, this is very significant to me what he says. I thought about that, and the Lord revealed to me this week, this is what Philip said. Hey, just show us the glory of God, and that'll be enough. Give us something extra. You remember when God had got so mad at Israel, he told Moses, get back, I'm going to kill them all and I'll make a nation out of you. I'm glad I ain't Moses because I'd have said, okay, I'm tired of putting up with them too. But he doesn't. He intercedes. He said, no, now you remember your promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, you kill them now, the Egyptians are going to say, ah, their God couldn't deliver on his promise. So he killed them all, and God said, all right, I've heard your prayer. But God said, but I ain't going with you. He said, you take your people, now they're Moses' people. Moses and God used to argue a lot about that. Yeah, God would say, you take your people that you brought out of Egypt, and Moses would go, oh, they ain't my people, they're your people. Don't you dump this mess on me, Lord. I went to Egypt because you told me to. God said there wasn't another prophet like him who spoke to God face to face. Yeah. But if you remember, Moses interceded, and God said, I won't go with you. And Moses said, then I ain't going to go. Church, do you know that's the mentality the Lord looks for in his church? Lord, if you're not in this, we're not going to do it. We're just spinning our wheels. Yeah. And Moses took an extra step, and he goes, now, show me your glory. Moses was saying, God, I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I'm not sure what to do. These people are on the verge of killing me. Every time you tell me to tell them something, they want to stone me. And Moses said, God, I just got to see. Now, God could have said, Moses, you can't see me. Your faith is weak. You unbeliever, I parted the Red Sea. I brought quail in here. I fed you with bread from heaven. And you're asking for extra. Moses needed it. Yeah. It wasn't a statement of unbelief. It was a plea. God, I got to know that you're in this. And God said, well, okay. I'm going to do that. But he said, I'll put you here in this rock, in a cleft. He said, I'll put my hand over your face. God's got a hand. Yeah. He said, I'm going to put my hand over your face, and I'm going to have all my glory pass before you, and I'm going to declare my name. That was intimate. Yeah. And he said, I am the Lord God who loves those who love me up to 1,000 generations. I am full of mercy and compassion. And I don't think Moses was trying to look out around the hand. Yeah, he knew better. And it said God took his hand away and let him see his back. What was the result of that? When Moses came down the mountain, the Jews ran from him because he was radiating from the glory. And that's what Philip's doing. He's going, Lord, show us the Father. Then we'll believe you. If you're going away, give us some vision of glory. And what did Jesus say? I ain't doing that. He said, boy, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And these religions around here, so-called, claim that Jesus was just a prophet, not the Son of God, never claimed to be deity, and he just said to his church, guys, you've seen God. Right here. He said, don't you understand that what I've said to you is not my words? The authority I have used, it said the Jews marveled because he taught the word as one who had authority. He said, that's not my authority, it's the Father's. The Father told me to do it, and I did. He said, the works that I've done has all been to the glory of the Father. Well, what did the Father do? He was glorifying the Son. It wasn't a rebuke. He said, guys, you got to trust me. You don't know right now what I'm doing, but you will. You know, a lot of the scriptures, it said the disciples did not realize until Jesus was risen. And then they went, oh, yeah. Finally got it. Well, not really, because after he was resurrected and he sent the women there and Mary said, we saw the Lord, they went, you know, just silly women. And said, Jesus upbraided them. That means he chastised them. That means he rebuked them. He said, man, why didn't you believe those girls? I told you I was going to be back. This is a beautiful love story. He said, church, I'm not going to leave you where you're at. Isn't this a wicked world we're in? Do you think it is? How about just this nation we're in? Is it wicked? Is this a godly nation? Not anymore. This is a heathen nation. Pagan. I saw a picture, and I don't want to be lewd, but my aunt posted on Facebook of a woman who smeared menstrual blood all over her face and her chest and took a picture of it and said, this is to the beauty. And I thought, how pagan could you get? Satanists use that in their communion services. They mix it with wine and drink it. That is satanic, and yet there's people applauding that and going, oh, isn't that beautiful? No, it's nasty. If I was in the same room with her, I'd want to take a hose or something and wash her off. Or say, woman, go take a bath. I don't even want to look at you. But see, we're in a generation, in a time in this nation, that they call evil good and good evil. They call darkness light and light darkness. They're saying, we don't understand why the Christians don't see. We see fine. You're the one that's got a problem. Yeah. Do you know that's our job? To bear light? We're scared to bear light. We are. We're scared to be light bearers. And in that sense of being light bearers, you know what that is? We're a reflection of Jesus Christ. He's the true light, but he said, when you're doing what I tell you to do, you're reflecting that light. How are people going to receive it? He said, most of them ain't going to like it. In fact, he told Nicodemus, here's the verdict. What's a verdict? It's a something that a judge passes down, a decision. He said, lights come into the world, but men love their darkness. And church, we shouldn't think it's strange that the unbelievers love their darkness. I was saying in Sunday school this morning, they're in the dark, they're deceived. Our prayer should be for our nation that God would open their eyes. But you know what? What are they going to see when he opens their eyes? They're going to see a bunch of trembling Christians hiding in our closets. We hope they don't come here. All the sinners are coming out of the closet and the church is going into it. Something's wrong with that picture. You see, Jesus said, I'm getting you guys a room ready and I'm going to come back. Well, what are we supposed to be doing? Representing our husband on the earth? Getting light. I said in Sunday school, I get so mad sometimes I can't even watch the news, and I can get very judgmental and critical, especially when I see some man dolled up like a woman dancing around the dress, expressing his joy and his gayness, you know. Oh, that irritates me. But the Spirit of God says he's deceived. He's been convinced by the God of this world that he was born that way. and that it's beautiful. How are we going to handle it? Jim Cimbala, in his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, talked about the church that he pastors in Brooklyn is in a bad part of New York City. And the church began to pray and say, God, open the doors. And he said, pimps and hookers and druggies started coming to church. And he said, at first we're like, whoa. Well, he said one day during the service, he was walking past a woman in a black dress, nicely dressed, and he had bumped her, and he said, excuse me. And this man turned around and said, that's all right. Pastor said, whoa. You know, he was a male prostitute. He heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he became a Christian. And he said some of the men in the church had to teach him how to sit like a man, how to dress like a man, how to have the mannerisms of men, because he was effeminate from his practice. How many of you men in this church would take that task on? If we had a cross-dresser come in here and come to Christ and say, now what do I do? You know, the church is, we've went very lax in the way we're supposed to serve. I have no use for parents as teachers. It's a socialist program. Bunch of social workers with a degree trying to tell people, let the state raise your kid. And one of my daughters rebuked me for that. And she said, how are these young mothers supposed to learn how to be mothers? I said, Paul said, let the older women in the church teach the younger women how to be good mothers and good wives. She said, well, then why aren't they doing it? It's true. I didn't have it. I said, you're right. Paul said to the men, let the older men be temperate, self-controlled. Let them teach the younger men. Guys, how many of you, I'm just asking, think about it. It's reciprocal. Don't answer it out loud. How many of you would be willing to come up to a new saved gay man and say, come on, man, let's hang around a while. Don't sit like that, guy. You know, it's okay to belch out loud. Well, we don't want to get involved. We don't want to get in anybody else's business. Jesus told us to in the church. Yeah. So he says to his church, I'm going to go away. And they say, well, show us the glory of God so we can keep going. He goes, no, you've already seen it. If you don't believe me, you're not going to believe if I did all these miracles. In fact, John says that after he made that statement, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me, Jesus went and hid himself. Because even after all the miracles he had done, he said they didn't believe in him. I hear people all the time, well, I'd become a Christian if God would do this in my life. No, you wouldn't. The world needs to understand God's done all he's going to do in the area of salvation. We sung about this morning, nothing but the blood. You try to approach God any other way than through Jesus Christ, you're insulting him. Yeah. That's why Jesus said, I am the way. The Greek says, I am the only road. I am the only truth. I am moral absolute, is what Jesus was saying. Everything comes out of my mouth is truth. And I am the life. Paul said to the church, when Jesus Christ, who is our life, appears, is he your life? Well, how do I know? Have you given your life to him? Have you let him sit on the throne of your heart and say, you're my king, not the world, not me. My worst enemy's me. I used to think he's the devil, but he's the second. It's me. Oh my gosh, the things that I can come up with. I got so agitated the other day thinking about some things. I went home, my hands were going like this. Boy, and I just, Lord, tuck you. You know, like a little kid having a fit. I think I ought to do this, this, and this. And God goes, really? Do you care what I think that you think? What have I asked you to do? Be a minister? Then be one. Ain't no money in it, God. I'm almost 70. What am I going to have to retire on? You just do what I tell you to do. He didn't say that I was going to win the lottery. Of course, I don't play the lottery. He never promised that my house will be paid off when I'm 70. That's my goal. I want to have it paid off so I got somewhere to live. Either that or I got to live with my kids. And I want to live in my own house. I don't want to live with my kids. I get along with them now so they won't put me in a nursing home, but I don't want to live with them. I love my kids. And I know they would take me and Judy in if we had to. But Jesus has made me a promise. I'm making a home for you. What kind of place is it? Paul said, the scriptures say, eyes never seen, ear has never heard, nor has it ever entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. God said, you can't even imagine. Isn't that like a father? It's going to be a surprise. The new heaven, the new earth, I believe the Bible said there'll be no seas. I believe it'll be all grass and not a thistle in it, and I'll be able to go barefoot anywhere I want to. There might be some crappie and largemouth bass in the stream of life, and the Lord will say, use this lure, son, and cast to the right, and you'll find. Woo! Now that's kind of, a little flippant. But I mean, the most beautiful, desirable things that I can imagine about my God's kingdom, He says, you can't even imagine it. Jesus says to His church, what else do I got to do, guys? Show us God. You've seen Him. I can see that, almost hear the hurt in His voice. He said, don't you guys know who I am? Don't you understand now? No, because we got a real problem that you said you're going to die, and we don't think the Messiah is supposed to die, so you need to cancel that. You need to stay here with us for the rest of our natural lives and be right there beside us and tell us what to do. You need to cast out demons. You need to raise the dead. You need to do all these miracles, and we'll walk behind you as your cabinet and say, yeah, this is the Christ. And Jesus said, no, I got an appointment with death, just like all of us. Because the children are flesh and blood, He too partook of the same, that He might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. The devil can't do anything to you that God doesn't allow, and he does not have the power of death. When John saw him, Jesus said, I got the keys. Praise God. We walk by faith, church. Ask you the same question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe He died on a cross and shed His blood for your sins, and that He was raised again so you could be justified and reconciled to God? Well, I go to church. Well, the devil goes to church. That doesn't mean anything. Well, I put money in the offering. We appreciate that because that helps pay the bills, but that won't get you into heaven. Your granny ain't going to get you there. Your wife ain't going to get you there. I ain't going to get you there. You're not going to ride on my coattails into the kingdom of heaven. It's between you and Christ. That's what He's asking His church this morning. Do you believe? And if your answer is, I do believe, then what have you done? It's an insult for you and I to say, God, I believe, but run off and live in sin, just like the children of the devil, and say, but I still believe. And I think, I remember my dad said, I haven't done that much to be ashamed of, so when I stand before God, I said, okay. I think he's changed his mind now. Yeah. And I love him, but I think he's changed his mind. But how sad that he had a chance while he was still here to become one of the children of God. Go to heaven and shout. Do you know that Christ is right now getting a place ready for us? If he created this earth in 6 days, and he's been working on the kingdom for 2,000 years, what do you think it must look like? We're in a garbage can compared to what's coming. You see, Jesus was fixing to face the biggest trial of his life, him going to the cross, but he knew how it was going to affect his church. He said, I'm telling you these things so you don't fall away. He said, I'm going away, but I'll be back. Peter said, they scoff and say, where is the promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers died, everything goes on as it has. But Peter said, they're ignorant of this thing, that 1 year with God is like 1,000, and 1,000 is like 1 year. He said, they forget on purpose that God flooded this world at one time and saved Noah and his family. They forget about that. What is he saying? God's not slow in his promise, but it's his timing, not ours. That's what irritates me. Yeah, it irritates me. It's like, come on, God. Can't you let me in on the timing? And he goes, no, it's none of your business. If you knew it, you'd get lazy. Jesus doesn't, that's right. And see, the picture he's painting here, he told his men, I don't know when I'm coming back. Just be ready. See, he gave that right up as deity when he became a man. There are some things Jesus gave up. Like, who could slap God in the face? Who could spit in God's face? Who could reach up and pull the beard out of God's face? Not me, baby. I wouldn't want to try it. But when he became man, he gave up that right as deity. And they were able not only to touch him and be amazed at him, they were able to torture him. And he knew when his people saw this, their faith was going to go. And here he is before he dies, trying to encourage them. You ever talk to somebody, and Brother Wayne has shared this, we go to see Sister Wilma sometimes, we went together. He said, you ever notice how you go in there and you want to try to lift her spirits up and you walk out and you feel lifted up because of her faith? Oh, that woman's got faith. She told me yesterday in the nursing home, she's so heartsick, she wants to be home. She said, I miss my church. But she said, God has given me such a peace that when I go, I'm going to see my husband and my kids again. Wow. I thought, you know, God must have told her what I was going to preach on. Yeah. Do you have that faith? Do you know that if you're called home tonight, that you'll be able to stand before God and say, I plead the blood of Jesus. God, that's the only defense I have. You wash me in the blood. And Jesus will look at him and say, yeah, I know him, Father. I know her. They're one of mine. Come on in. I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are too. If you haven't made that decision, it's not hard. It's not complicated. It's not ritual. You know, we're not going to go by ritual. The Bible says repent. Change your mind. Stop fighting with God. Stop thinking you can get to Him your way and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and after that you shall receive the Holy Ghost. That's not ritual, that's truth. I didn't say it, the Holy Spirit said through Peter. One guy said, that it? That's it? Sometimes we want, give me some works, man. Tell me to do something great. You can't. You can't earn salvation. You can't become good enough to get saved. It bothers me when people say, well, I'd come to church, preacher, but I got some problems to work out. Come to our church. We all got problems. Yeah, yours ain't going to matter. Not meaning that we don't care, but it's not going to do anything different. We'll work on it together. Would you stand with me this morning? I went a little longer than I meant, but you get time today. You know, we don't have Sunday evening services. Go home today and read John chapter 13 through the end of 17. It's all one discourse. It's right after supper. Judas has went to betray him, and Jesus says, guys, here's how it is. And you read the 17th chapter, he prays for his church. He's getting ready to suffer a terrible death, and he's more concerned about what's going to happen to his church. He says, I know what I'm going to do. You know, you tear this temple down, I'm going to raise it back up. But he said, I don't want my church falling away. Brother Wayne shared a missionary letter with me this morning from Cambodia, and it was really cool to hear people come to Christ, but it was heartbreaking. One lady in the church said, we've had a lot of people come to Jesus, and they'll come to church for a while, and when they start having trouble, they leave the church. If I could write her, I'd say, honey, it's happening here too. So people follow Jesus for the wrong reasons. And the proof of that is when they walk away from him. The Bible says that many of Jesus' disciples turned away. Don't be one of them. If you're one that has, I assure you, he is waiting with open arms to receive you back. Just come back. If you need to make any kind of a decision like that, you need to talk to me. Come up here and sit down. I'm not going to embarrass you. But let's talk, man. Let's get honest. Get honest with God. That's what he's asking you to do. You say, I don't want to come forward. I'll be here after church. Come talk to me. Let's get this taken care of. As we sing the song of invitation, sing this with all your heart. You can take these home and be praying for them. You don't have to know them to pray effectively. Just enter into that throne room of grace and say, we got some requests. Very quickly, I went to see Wilma yesterday, and I went and seen Esther, and I went to see Doc, but I think he was asleep. He didn't answer the door. But Wilma was telling me about people from this church that have come to see her, and her face was shining. And she said, when I first got here, I had visitors every day, and now they're not coming as often. And I said, people are busy, you know. But she was telling me about people comes here. Church, that's ministry. When I ask, what are you doing for Christ, that's what I'm talking about. Jesus said, I was sick, and you ministered to me. Esther had very high spirits yesterday. She said, I'm determined that I'm going to get up and walk again, that I'm going to get strong and go home so I can spend the rest of my life with the man I've been married to for 64 years. Yeah, wow. She said the same thing. She covets our prayers, and she's worried about Doc. And I said, Miss Esther, I think I can promise you that there'll be some of us going out to see how Doc's doing and if he needs anything. And she said, that means a lot to me. So, church, that's ministering for Christ. I've had people get mad at me and I don't like you beating on me. I'm not beating on you. I'm just saying you don't have to be preaching or teaching Sunday school to be serving Jesus Christ. Miss Elizabeth has a Bible study in a nursing home with psychiatric patients. You ever try ministering to them? You don't want to get into the book of Revelation. I'm here today. But it's those things that speak volumes. They can come here and hear my sermon, and a week later they couldn't tell you what I said. But it's when you go call on the sick. And aren't we family? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your kinfolk. We might as well get used to one another and love on one another like the Lord commanded us to. So if you get a chance, go see Wilma. If you can't see her, send her a card. Send Esther a card. All you got to do is call Heart of the Ozarks and Avon, they'll give you a writing address. I think that'd be neat if we'd shower them two gals with cards. Desiree Cooley's in the hospital again. She's been struggling with infections. Be in prayer for her. If you think of it, send her some cards. But I'll tell you what really lightens these folks up is when you go in and say hi. How you doing? So if you see something, Paul says that you can do, do it. Do it in the name of Jesus. Any prayer requests you want to bring to the body before we dismiss?
Remember, Tim, he goes in tomorrow for cataract surgery.
Oh, okay. So Tim's going to have eye surgery.
Yeah. Well,
be praying for Lori's husband, Tim. Lady named Bonda Bungard, a dear godly woman, is really battling cancer, and she's been at Barnes Hospital in St. Louis since Christmas, and that gets to you. Be lifting her, and her husband's name's Doyle. Doyle and Bonda, if you think of them, lift them up. Brother Kevin told me he's been having some issues with cancer, and be praying for him. Does God hear our prayers?
Yeah.
Yeah, he answers them too. So there's a lot of things we can be doing right here in this little old church to be exalting and glorifying Jesus' name. I didn't get to it in the sermon, but if you notice, Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I'll do it, that God might be glorified. That's the key, church. Are we praying for God's glory or ours?
Yep.
We need to be praying for His glory, and Jesus said, guess what? I'll answer your prayers. Woo, praise the Lord. I'll shut up. I'm going to ask whoever has the closing prayer to please pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that we can come here and worship You, that we can lift Your name up and praise You. We just ask that You would be with Esther, be with Wilma, and keep and comfort them with Your Spirit, that they may be comforted and their spirits raised. We also pray for others that's been mentioned here this morning, that You would draw close to them. We thank of Desiree that Your healing power would be with her, and Kevin that Your healing power would be with him. And we just pray that you'll guide each one of us this coming week to work for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow.